McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. We have a public hearing for the speed detection system in school zones.
Due process is not optional. The 5th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution guarantee that no person shall be deprived of liberty or property without due process of law. The system inverts that principle entirely. Under automated system citation systems, the registered owner of the vehicle receives the fine, regardless of who is actually driving, as was previously commented on. The government presumes guilt and places the burden on the citizen to prove innocence. That is not due process. That is a speed trap with a camera when a license can be suspended over an unpaid ticket issued to the wrong person.
All right, this was one of the people, Brad Riley, who spoke against the school speed zone camera. Santa Rosa County Commission was taken up on Thursday. Other people raised concerns about accuracy, it being a money grab, what happens when dude is driving his truck, pulling a trailer that belongs to somebody else and the camera catches the trailer, who's actually going to get the ticket? Is it going to be that person? Wouldn't it be more effective to have police out there physically manning, or womaning? I kind of like that phrase, womaning. I should add that to the transgressors list of things to say, womaning the ramparts.
Wait a second.
I'm writing it down.
You're right? Writing it down?
Yeah, that's a good one. I have to write stuff down or I will definitely not remember. The worst is when I'm falling asleep and I'm like, I think of some idea. I'm like, that'd be a good frivolous topic. Do I want to get up and type it in my phone so I can remember? Yes, because I will not remember in the morning 100% of the time. And sometimes it's a good one.
And you could have just told Siri to jot a note down for you.
No, I don't talk to that person.
Okay.
She plays for the wrong team anyway. Okay, So back to the conversation at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. Questions about the speed cameras in the school zones, constitutionality issues. There was one local court in South Florida issued an injunction against, I forget if it was these or if it's red light cameras. It doesn't really matter. It's the same basic objection that you have to, the burden of proof is now against you. The burden of, the presumption is against you. That you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent and, you don't have the right to confront your accuser and all of this. So that's what Brad is getting at. So they answered a lot of these objections in the course of the conversation about the school speed zone cameras, which, again, would be operated at no cost to the county, would generate revenue for the school district and a bunch of other sources, mostly for public safety stuff or crossing guard programs and things like that. And also the state makes some money. And, of course, the company does make some money, but it doesn't cost the county anything. The question of whether there's a review for there possibly being mistakes, Bobby Burkett is going to ask this question. Major Doug Brinkman's with the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is there, and he's going to answer.
And I just want everybody to be clear, a uniform officer will be the one reviewing these before citations are issued, correct?
Yes, sir. Just like the school bus cameras that we do, it has to be a law enforcement officer that reviews them. They get validated that the violation occurred, and it gets sent out, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, so somebody's always going to be putting eyes on, human eyes on. By the way, I said Brinkman's. It's Brinkman's. I don't know why I said that. But by Burkett and some of the other commissioners have talked about the ridiculous number of violations and the speed of the violations that they'd seen as high as 71 miles an hour at Benny Russell Elementary. Colton Wright said 60 and 55. Also, if they put these in, the statistics or the study shows that it reduces violation by about 95-94%, which is good. It's not feasible to have a deputy out there because the SROs are responsible for the student safety at the school. They're not responsible for the speeders. It's almost like two separate jobs, okay? And even though they're both cops, it's cop job A, which is protect the kids in the school from a school shooter or somebody like that. Cop job B would be to enforce the school speed zone, and you'd have to put three or four deputies out there and at each school. just to catch them all. You know, like Pokemon, just to catch them all. It'd be hard to do. So this does it cheaply, effectively, without having to lose focus on the SRO issue. But some of the violations are crazy.
Yeah, I looked down at Central High School, which is at a four-way stop. Top speed is 62 miles an hour at a four-way stop where that school was located. I mean, these kind of things, it's just mind-boggling. We need to, if this is going to save a child's life, you know, like I said, if you're speeding, pay it. No.
Well, just imagine on Highway 98, let's say Low Road, where West Navarre Primary is, just imagine a school bus turning in as a car comes through there at about 60 miles an hour and goes into the side of that bus.
Yeah, yeah, you know, we've got to say, protect our children, and that's one of the things that I'm very vocal about. I have 8 grandchildren, and I don't want to have nothing happen to them, you know, so this will help save some lives.
Yeah, if we're going to believe in school speed zones, then school speed zone enforcement is vital, especially because we all know that people violate it routinely. Like 3/4 of the people are going more than 11 over is what the study showed. At least that's what Tom McLaughlin wrote in the PNJ, and I believe that to be true. If you've ever driven in speed zones or in school zones, you know people don't do what they're supposed to do. It's crazy out there.
Best way not to get a citation is don't speed. My son used to be a frequent flyer with citation when he was a teenager. He told me the other day, we were sitting there talking, he said, you know, it's amazing. When I started obeying the law, they never stopped me anymore. He said, I couldn't figure that out for a long time, but I never get stopped anymore because I'm obeying the law. That's all you got to do. Obey the law and you don't have to worry about it.
I don't like this police state being caused by these cameras. I don't know. You could just drive the speed limit. Weird how that works. Okay, we'll come back to this in a second because there are some things to be said on the other side, and we'll get to it in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, what? And his son used to break it. Now
ride,
he's like,
and
took me a long time to figure out if I just stop breaking the law, they'll stop writing me tickets. Weird.
I know. All right, let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, they're all flowing smoothly. Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, maybe a 5 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are working on a home improvement project or you build things for a living or anywhere in between, because, you know, there's a large spectrum of possibilities of people who might need the services and supplies that Pensacola Hardware delivers. And I say services because, you know, you might not think about it that way, but it is a repository of institutional knowledge. It's the place where you can go and ask them how to do it, and they will know. And in fact, one of the things, I love this about them, they so want you to get the end result of what you want to accomplish that they will, you know, if you go in there and you buy a thing and it's a thing that can be kind of, you know, used right or not used right, as in people might not know how to use it properly, they'll make sure you know, like, hey, have you ever used this before? No? Okay, well, here's what you might not realize. I just want to make sure that you're safe because this is kind of a dangerous thing. Like, that's amazing, that level of concern and just know-how. They're like the living YouTube. You know, instead of asking YouTube, go ask them, hey, I've got this problem, I'm trying to solve it. What advice do you have for me? Okay, like everything from silt and erosion control to hardware supplies to, you know, I don't know, fixing walls or, you know, building things for a living. Anything that's construction related, they can help you with it. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, 175 years this year. It's an amazing anniversary, 175 years. I mean, you know, as a country, we're 250. They've been around for 175 of that. That's crazy. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. All right, back to the conversation about the speed cameras in Santa Rosa County. Colton Wright.
I heard the comment about, you know, who pays for this, and I just want to verify that the taxpayer doesn't pay for these cameras to be installed. This is done at the vendor's expense. Is that correct?
Correct. There's no cost to the county or the sheriff's office or to the school board.
That's right. No cost to any. Although there is, I should say, there is a small, like, labor cost because you have to have a sheriff's deputy actually look at the footage, just like in Pensacola, having, you know, officers look at the red light cameras to issue the citation. So, and the way I have heard it is that in Pensacola, it's actually not a small time consumption. It's actually kind of a significant thing. They think it's worth it, but, you know, it's not just one guy sitting down an hour a week. I mean, it's a lot of attention that has to be paid to these things. I would expect in Santa Rosa, it's not going to be so simple because so many people do it, but hopefully over time it discourages the behavior and fewer, right? So not needing to. There's also been some concern about the objection that they, you know, store your data and it's an unreasonable search and all that kind of stuff. And he says, you're getting confused Major Brinkman says you're getting confused over what these cameras are. They're not flock cameras. It's a different system. He's not saying flock cameras are bad. He's just saying they're different.
No, there's a lot of confusion that the cameras that are going to be in there, they're not capturing tags. They're only reading the tags of the people that are speeding. So it's not capturing all the tags that are coming through there. It's not like a flock system. It's an actual system that just catches the people that are speeding. Those are the ones that will receive the notice. Everybody else that comes through there, their tag does not get captured.
So this is not a movement monitoring or a checkpoint passing kind of system the way the flock cameras are?
When you get the citation, it'll ask you if you were the person speeding, if you were the person operating the vehicle. If it's not, it's going to ask you who it was. I mean, you can divert it to who's the person that was driving your car. I mean,
Mrs. McKay.
Personally, for my vehicle, it's either me or my wife driving.
Right.
It's one of us that did it. And if it's not me, when I walk in the house, I can tell my wife it was you. So in general, I know who operates my vehicles.
So for the concern about it not being you who was driving it at the time, which it doesn't take a photo, it's just the license plate, basically, and then, you know, the speed zone. So it is a little bit different, but you can object right on the form, he says. And then what about that human check against, you know, because people raise concerns about, like, the holiday schedule for the speed zone. People aren't always, you know, the lights sometimes flash when the kids are out. And, you know, I've noticed that sometimes it seems like the system itself doesn't quite match the school calendar the way it should, you know, for impromptu days off or things like that when they're not actually in operation. And he says, look, that's why we have a human.
That's why we have the verification, just like we do with the school bus.
Okay.
Cameras, the stop arm cameras. That's why we have deputies, and one of them that does our school bus is standing right back there. So we verify that the violation occurred. If there's any doubt, we dismiss the citation right then and there.
Yeah, we err on the side of caution, as in not issuing the citation. Somebody said the people who actually pay for this are the people who violate the law. So it's literally the criminals who are paying for the thing to be installed. Kerry Smith, what about on Highway 98 where it's, you know, 45 or 55 miles an hour? And like at the new high school, the speed zone is going to be 35, I think. John, does that sound right to you? I think it's 35. It's not 20. Okay. So will this be put in on Highway 98, which would seem to be a problem?
On another one, we had one citizen say something about a school that's going to be out there on 98. I don't think they're going to go in those schools because their minimum speed limit's above 20 miles an hour, correct?
The statute requires that it's 20 miles an hour or lower for a school zone. So the two on 98 that are marked at 35, there would be no cameras in there because it wouldn't be legal for us to issue citations based on anything above 20 miles an hour.
So it can only be in places where it's 20 or 15. Now, I know, you know, Okaloosa just activated or they're unsuspended. I can't remember the status of them. We were actually biking over there and saw them. We've, you know, been biking that vicinity recently. But this to me seems like basically a no-brainer. If we believe in school speed zones and we have a really high level of violation and the cost / difficulty of assigning personnel to actually catch speeders in speed zones is impossibly prohibitive, then here's your answer, at no cost. But I will say, I do have some things to say on the other side. And, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood as the guy who's opposed to this. I would have voted for it. But there are some observations on the other side. It's not a 100%, but a lot of times in legislation, you're voting 90-10, 80-20, you know, even 60-40. And you can still vote yes on something, even though you recognize there are concerns on the other side. I think the due process concerns are not nothing. I think there's something to that. There is a bit of a problem, but I don't think it's a grand problem. And we're going to see what the appeals courts do with that. I don't think you should go based on one judge's ruling. That's kind of what Tom Danheiser indicated, you know, the attorney, former judge. Don't just go on what one judge says. You've got to wait for the process to play out. And if it plays out and it's decided by, say, the Florida State Supreme Court or some higher court even, that there's an unconstitutional violation of your due process based on these either red light cameras or the school speed zone cameras or anything else, well, we will adapt to that, okay? It's not a 0% chance. It's not a 100% chance. It's somewhere in between. The things that catch me in thinking about this are two. Number one, be honest. Have you ever discovered yourself going the speed limit normally in a school zone because you didn't realize it was a school zone and slammed on the brakes? Raise your hand. Both hands are up. Of course. Well, not, I mean, metaphorically. John's like, where's your
hand? Because I'm like, what? I was like, what?
There's nobody but you can see them, John.
I know, but that's part of the problem.
There is a school on Olive Road west of 9th Avenue, and I remember vividly that I was going through there one day, and I don't normally drive during school times because I think I'm usually working during school, but this one school starts later, and it's 40, and I was going west there, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of a school zone. Jeez. Slow right down. And that happens. And I'm kind of glad I didn't have to pay a $100 ticket because I made a mistake that one time. And I'm sure that's not the only time. If you're not familiar with the school zone, if you're not familiar with the school, the times, the speed limit requirement, I know the flashing yellow lights and the big signs should seem to make that problem go away. But I'm just telling you, school speed zones on regular roads are an oddity. And the fact that you have to be aware enough to adapt to it is a little bit weird because it's not an all the time. Even if you live in that area, and even if you don't live in that area, it can become a problem. So that's part one. Okay, as people are going to make mistakes, and should they have to pay because they made a mistake? I don't know. It's a good question. The second one is some of these school speed zones are ridiculous. I live near West Florida High School. 15 miles an hour.
Woodham.
Yeah, okay. The old Woodham, right. 15 miles an hour? Ugh. Ugh. Now, you have to be going 26, and this would be in Escambia versus Santa Rosa, but in Santa Rosa, same thing. A 15 mile an hour, and some of them are. Some of them are 20. You'd have to be going 31. That's enough over that it's a concern, but it's not 60 either. You know what I mean? It's still lower than the normal speed, most likely, in most of these places. So there is a little bit of conflict for me. I do think most people violate it. I do think there's a lot of very dangerous drivers. I am willing to trust that the studies are correct, that this will cut down on it 90-95% and dramatically improve the level of safety in these areas. At least I sure hope so. I hope in the long run, just like I hope with the red light cameras, they basically wind up ticketing almost nobody, and it winds up that the revenue all dries up, but it's working to get people to behave according to the speed zone. That's the goal. 725 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right, no accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, expect a 7-minute delay. Also seeing some backups on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, a 7-minute delay, and also Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road, seeing an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Daryl's Sewing of Pensacola is celebrating Serger Month the entire month of April. Sergers are versatile and create professional, durable, and clean fabric finishes. Throughout April, Daryl's Sewing has special sale prices on Baby Lock and Bernina sergers and accessories. Daryl's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, and much more. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or at sewinginpensacola.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Samsung. Sort of had them apple bottom jean boots with-
talking about the school speed zone cameras. Somebody says, I don't mind putting them, like, deep into the school zone, but right at the entrance to it where people might be just slowing down. Now, it is a violation at the beginning, and based on the ones I've seen in Okaloosa, it is at the entrance to the school zone, not deep into it. Somebody else says, if the school speeding problem is so prevalent, why don't we hear about more incidents where kids get hit? I hate to be the guy to, you know, raise that or voice that, but, you know, it's an odds issue. But still, if people are really violating this so frequently and nobody's been hit, I mean, when's the last time you heard about somebody getting clipped at a school speed zone? That's not an unfair question to ask. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Police are still searching for the gunman after a deadly shooting at a Chick-fil-A in New Jersey. Investigators say one person was killed, six others were hurt when a masked suspect opened fire in that restaurant Saturday night and then ran. Authorities believe the shooting may have been tied to drugs or gang activity. Britney Spears has reportedly checked into a treatment facility. Her representatives confirmed the move but have not provided details. Reports say it could be related to substance abuse after her recent DUI. And NASA says that the Artemis 3 crew could be announced soon. That mission's planned for 2027.
And then the next year after that, we go back to the moon surface, right? 2028?
I believe that's
the plan.
They're
still working on the lander is the part that they'll... We've had 50 years and we've been there before. Why? Okay. Am I asking the wrong question, John? Is it too much to imagine that by now we've... I mean, my kids worked on landers in college. You know, like... Be that hard.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says the U.S. Navy blockade of the Strait of Hormuz begins at 10 a.m. Eastern.
U.S. Military Central Command says the blockade will be enforced impartially against vessels of all nations entering or departing Iranian ports and coastal areas, including all Iranian ports on the Arabian Gulf and Gulf of Oman. CENTCOM forces will not impede freedom of navigation for vessels transiting the Strait of Hormuz to and from non-Iranian ports.
Dr. Lucas Tomlinson in Pakistan, California Congressman Eric Swalwell suspends his campaign for governor.
The 45-year-old Democrat has been accused of sexual misconduct by four women. Allegations include one former staffer who says Swalwell sexually assaulted her on two occasions. Swalwell has repeatedly denied these claims.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful day right now. We've got 62 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our forecast up in just a few minutes. An investigation is ongoing after a shooting at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments. This happened at the complex on Truman Avenue Sunday morning. Deputies responded there and say two victims with gunshot wounds were found. Bullet holes were found at two apartments there. Both victims were taken to a hospital. So far, there's no details on what led to that shooting. And again, that investigation is ongoing. A 16-year-old from Alabama was arrested on Friday after posting a video of a gun online with a caption threatening to kill a student in Walton County. The suspect reportedly attends the same school and was taken into custody before classes began. No other details have been released on that. An adult was airlifted to a hospital after being found face down in a pool in Escambia County yesterday. First responders were called to a property on West Indies Drive. Right now, there's no word on that person's current condition. Well, there was a good turnout Saturday for the Fiesta Children's Treasure Hunt. That happened at Museum Plaza in downtown Pensacola. Kids explored the Pensacola History Museum on a clue-based scavenger hunt. There was prizes, Pensacola Fire and Police Departments, as well as the Blue Wahoo's Kazoo, Ice Flyers Maverick, and UWF's Argie the Argonaut were all on hand for that event. Florida Senator Rick Scott is calling on Congress to eliminate the Senate filibuster. Scott posted on Facebook saying it's time to blow up the filibuster to allow passage of the Save America Act and full funding for the Department of Homeland Security. He said the filibuster was not meant to serve as a permanent veto, and accuses Democrats of using it to block what he's calling America First legislation. Escambia County looking for a volunteer to fill an at-large seat on the Board of Adjustment. If you're interested in that, check out myescambia.com for more information. You have until April 27th to submit a resume. And just in from the Escambia County Public Schools, they've launched a new webpage to help families prepare for middle school transitions. The Your Middle School Journey page on the ECPS website includes information on academic programs, school contacts, support services, and key dates. And Superintendent Keith Leonard says the goal is to help families feel confident and prepared. So if you want to check that out and you've got students getting ready to transition into middle school, EscambiaSchools.org is where you can get more information on that. It's 7:34 here, News Radio. And let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing some beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up into the upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the mid-60s. Heading into your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees. Heading into Tuesday night, back around 65 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures back near 65. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And at 7:35, we check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA. They're making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Still seeing no accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on I-10 right around the I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest area, expect about a 7-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola through that construction zone, experiencing about a 12-minute delay, and 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Beautiful morning out there. We've got some sunshine and 63 degrees right now. And our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Revolution Medicine says its pancreatic cancer drug succeeded in a phase 3 trial. RevMed said its drug almost doubled the typical length of survival and slashed the risk of death by 60% versus chemotherapy. The company will soon seek FDA approval using a commissioner's national priority voucher. Oil field services provider Baker Hughes said it has sold its Waygate technology unit to Swedish industrial technology group Hexagon for nearly $1.5 billion in cash. The deal is expected to close in the second half of this year. Oil prices have surged more than 7% as the U.S. Navy prepares to block ships to and from Iran via the Strait of Hormuz, a move that could restrict Iranian oil exports after Washington and Tehran failed to reach a deal to end the war. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at roughly $104 per barrel. Brent currently at $102. Futures have dropped sharply as U.S. forces prepare to block the Strait of Hormuz from Iranian assets starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
It's the 26th annual Crawfish Festival this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Come out and kick off your Saturday morning with the Crawfish 5K at 8, Kids Crawfish Race later that afternoon, and fireworks at 8 on Saturday night. Performing live, we'll have Colleen Sexton, Jared McConnell and the High Aces, Bangarang Peter, Tyler Livingston and the Absolutes, the Oliver Twist Band, and so many other great bands all weekend long. You'll want to stop by and visit all the local artists in between all the fun. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 when Delina from the Pensacola Boot Store will be on the show discussing who the boot store is, what's behind the big red boot, and the boot store's community involvement. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Delina from the Pensacola Boot Store.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Sometimes it's frustrating to be a council member, you know, because there are things that the governing body can't do. You know, we are really not able to do anything about the flock cameras, apparently. That's what we're being told by our staff. Kind of why I think we need our own attorney, personally. And I've said this before, we have authorization to have our own attorney to give us input, so we don't have to share the city attorney. But I think there's a lot of things we could do with our own city attorney.
Charles Bear is frustrated as a city councilman. Part two of the Charles Bear experience is ongoing right now as he is the councilman for the second time around. He was an at-large council member before, and now he took over Sherry Meyer's spot, although she's running for re-election. Now, did you see that? This is kind of interesting. I also sometimes wonder, like, the level of complaining that goes on from District 2, if it's, like, in the water, you know, because it was Sherry, and now it's Charles, and taking up the mantle. Anyway, so we talked last hour about this absurd objection that he had against the statue for Alexander Stoddard at Bayview Community Center. The guy who, you know, made the park happen, donated the land, was a rich northerner. Oh, no. With, you know, how dare he have black servants? Probably a pretty good gig to honestly post, you know, in Reconstruction. Anyway, we dealt with that last hour. If you missed it, 6:35, you should go back and listen to it. It's fascinating stuff. But now he's got other complaints. It's what I call the Bear Gripes complaint at the end of the Pensacola City Council meeting. We can't do anything about the flock cameras. We don't have any power. We need an attorney for ourselves. That's not the first time that objection has been raised, by the way.
On March 31st, I asked the policy director for the mayor, Dustin Rutherford. March 31st, I asked him for a list of all the opioid funding expenditures along with which pot they came from. I'm still waiting. So citizens aren't the only ones that have to wait sometimes to get public records. And I will tell you, too, citizens, if you have a request from me of some record that I have to give it to you. So I can't just, like, put you off and make you go through a process. If I have it, ask me for it. I'll give it to you.
So he's frustrated he's not getting the records that he wants. He also is frustrated that they won't tell him where the flock cameras are.
The administration won't tell me where the flock cameras are. They say that's secret. We don't want the bad guys to know that. But you can just go out there and look for them. I mean, there's two at the Lowe's parking lot. I don't even know who those belong to, whether they're Lowe's or whether they're ours. I don't know. But you can make a list. I know people have been putting it together. I'd love to see that. I think it should be posted. I see no problem with that. I don't think we should be hiding things from citizens.
So should PPD be putting out a list of all of its surveillance locations, too, and giving you a list of all of its undercover police so that, you know, we know who they are and what they're doing, and we should be watching the watchers, right? I mean, obviously, PPD should be disclosing everything to everybody all the time because that's how you have transparency in government. What? It's such a weird objection. So, okay, so he's frustrated about the flock cameras. He's frustrated that nobody's told him the locations of them. He's frustrated he's not getting the records that he's requested. He's frustrated that he's not getting the crime reports anymore.
Kind of reminds me of when I was on council before. Here we go, Councilman Moore.
Because that always comes up that he likes to harken back to when he was on council before. Anyway, you know, he can't help himself. But he's aware of it enough to notice that he's doing it. But okay, anyway.
We used to get crime reports. We'd have the chief come, and he would give us a report on what crime was happening across the city by district. We still occasionally get a CRA one, but that's just the CRA. I'm not in the CRA, so I don't even know what crime is happening until a citizen tells me, did you hear about this? There were gunfire. I had to call in gunshots myself. You know, we don't get any of that information.
How dare I have to call in my own gunshots? Am I hearing it wrong? No, I remember when they used to do the police report, when it was usually at the agenda meeting, the Monday meeting, and once a month, PPD's CO would have to come in, and, you know, he would give, you know, the chief would give all the crime. And I always thought that was interesting. I actually agree with Charles. I'd like to hear it more. But then it got weird. Like, I have to call in my own gunshots, and I don't know what's going on with crime, and I'm not getting my information, and to top it all off,
And I went to a neighbor association meeting. There was a supervisor there from the police department. He didn't know who I was. So it'd be nice if the supervisor in my area and my district knew who I was. It'd just be a great thing. It'd be great to see the chief here, too.
What? Wait a minute. Councilman Bear is offended that one of the sergeants or lieutenants doesn't know who he is? Do you not know who I am? Listen, there's a lot of people in the community who know who I am. There's a lot of people who don't. I know a lot of the PPD and Scammy Sheriffs, and there's a lot of them I don't. I never assume anybody knows who I am. And listen, Charles, not to, like, knock off your stilts, but you're just a city council member. There's no reason anybody would know who you are unless they pay attention to politics. You're telling me that it's a cop's duty to memorize the members of city council and to know who you are when you walk in? Come on, brother.
And I went to a neighbor association meeting. There was a supervisor there from the police department. He didn't know who I was. So it'd be nice if the supervisor in my area and my district knew who I was. It'd just be a great thing. It'd be great to see the chief here, too.
Do you want D.C. to hand out, like, a playing card deck with all of the members of the council and all the department heads so that all the cops and leadership can know who, memorize, like, the ace of spades? That's Charles Baer. Like, come on. He didn't even know who I was. John, am I making too much of this?
No, sir, you're not.
It's such a laundry list of whining. So whiny.
I mean, did he say that
as well? It's great to have police presence, but I think it's always good to have our chief here. I realize the chief works for the mayor, but we're the governing board. I think we're important too.
We're the governing board. We're important too. I'll come back to this in a second. I don't know. I try not to give judgments about people, you know, and I have tried to be patient, but and I said this last hour, I'll say it again. I respect that Charles says what he thinks. I respect that he gives you the argument. I respect that when he takes a position, no matter how terrible the idea is, or sometimes right, and he's not wrong about the public records, and he's not wrong about getting the crime report. I mean, there are things now, part of the reason they don't do the crime report is because, at least back when, I think it was Tommy Leiter who stopped doing it, is they thought, why would we want to create publicity around our problems? All we're doing is making our city sound bad when we talk about all the crimes. How is that helpful? Now, so that's an argument. You can have a discussion about that. So even when I think there's something on his, you know, he's got this skill. The skill is that even when he's right, he makes me not want to agree with him, which is not a compliment. Okay, we'll come back because he had more. I literally have a section of my audio called Bear Gripes. About all the things. I didn't know how to categorize them. It was like this litany of complaints. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Okay, so we've got one accident right now, and Cervantes westbound at I-110 is blocked from that accident, so just be aware of that. Starting to see some backups there. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our normal construction delays. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 12-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Before we finish up with the Charles Baer experience, I am getting a couple of texts in here. Oh, my God. Phil says, you're hilarious this morning, Andrew. Keep up the good work. Somebody says, I don't know how to put this to Ron Burgundy. I'm a very important man. I have many leather-bound books. Somebody says, I think his head might explode with how inflated it is. Somebody says, things for a politician never to say to a law enforcement officer, number one, do you know who I am? Somebody says, oh, Bruce says, I know who you are. I love your photo on the News Radio app. But I'm troubled I don't know your middle name. I don't know what that means.
I don't either, so.
Somebody says, no one's important except for Jesus. Well, I mean, that's true.
Sure.
The Ace of Spades is Lenny Kilmister. Is that a movie reference? I don't know it, sorry. Somebody says, cage match, Andrew McKay and Charles Baer.
Oh, I'd pay for that one. I really would. That would be a great pay-per-view.
Oh, no. I don't want to fight Charles. I want him to just, you know, be sweeter. I wonder how many times this guy has said, you must know who I am. No, here's what's surprising. I give Charles the benefit of the doubt a lot. I do. I give him the benefit of the doubt a lot. I know he knows how to rub everybody wrong, but I give him the benefit of the doubt because I honestly think he's a guy who tries hard, thinks clearly, tries to reason, use evidence, be engaged, know the issues. I trust him. I think he's an honest person, an honorable person, but I just can't figure out why, like, he always leans in the direction of the skid. Like, he's always the no vote. He's always got something he's whining about. And as a guy who whines professionally for a living, I get it, you know? I sometimes say the unpopular thing. I sometimes say the obnoxious thing. You know, that is... the lead singer Motorhead. You're right. You caught me. I should have known. Because the song... And okay. All right, back to finishing up with the Charles Baer experience at the city council meeting. After griping that the cop doesn't know who he is and the police chief should show up at their meetings because we're the governing board after all, then he goes into a long explanation of how the mayor is off of his... he's within his power under the charter, but he's really... There's something about our charter that's sort of against the principle of the Constitution. And he gives this long soliloquy about how he's teaching a government class at UWF for the first time. And?
I'm teaching about the separation of powers. And what's very interesting to me is that there is a provision in our policies and procedures, Article 2, Agendas, Section 2.01 for the City Council, submission of items... Agenda items may be sponsored and submitted by an individual council member or by the mayor, okay? Lots of our agenda items come in with the mayor being the sponsor.
That's true. And a lot of times they're very just technical items like airport this or they're just things that the staff and the administration is working on and they need to get this done in order to advance some project that the council has previously talked about. Wait, okay, but he's right. The mayor's name is on a lot of the items.
Well... The United States government doesn't operate that way. Can you imagine if Donald Trump could put out bills? I mean, that would be just crazy. He can't do that because the founders of our Constitution and the founders of our country decided there needed to be separation of powers. When they wrote our charter, they thought there should be separation of powers. The mayor only gets the powers that are in the charter and things that we give him or her. And we have granted the mayor the ability to add things to our agenda. He is not a member of the legislative body, yet he gets to be a legislator because he gets to sponsor legislation. That is wrong.
It's an interesting discussion, but of course the mayor under the charter does have this authority. Now, I think what Charles is saying is he shouldn't have it, you know, because that's not how other separations of powers work. But under our system, we just don't have that particular separation. The mayor can sponsor items. Of course, the legislature, city council could fail to move it, fail to second it, not vote for it. They have all kinds of ability to thwart what the mayor wants. So why shouldn't the mayor have the ability to put things, especially kind of technical things or anything, you know, on the agenda? And it's an interesting conversation. I'm not sure that it's some violation of the grand idea of what it means to be an American in our Constitution, but okay.
Next month, we'll be doing discussion of that because I think we should talk about it. If the mayor can't get one council member to sponsor an item, why should it come before us? That is minimal work. I know there are council members that would see the good idea of what he wants to do and sponsor it. Doesn't mean that they're going to vote for it. It's just a sponsor.
So, again, he'd like to consider the prospect of revising the charter to make it so that a council member has to sponsor it so that the mayor comes and works with the council more.
If I were mayor, I think the council should manage the legislation. And I would think it's my job to get them to do that, just like it's the governor's and the president's authority. They have to go talk to a legislator, get them to sponsor a bill. It is creeping into our ability to be the governing body. So I think that's a discussion we need to have, and I'll be putting that on the agenda for next month.
There you go. So, I got a text here. I don't know if I want to respond to it. I kind of do. I kind of don't. Because it's going to start to be the pile on Charles Baer Day. There was a conversation. There was a voting item that had to do with continuing the relationship with Bill Bond for baseball or bringing baseball in house, basically. And he voted against it. And I gave him a pass on this. I didn't even cut the audio for it because he started off by talking about how his kid got mistreated and, you know, it was coach favoritism in the Bill Bond organization. And so they had to go play in Gulf Breeze where his kid got much better treatment. And I thought he was just giving some personal connection to the story. I didn't think he was explaining that that's why he voted against. But it was a weird one. It was kind of a weird one. And he might have just had, you know, bad food that day. I don't know. Had a headache.
Do they provide snacks? I really think they
he was hangry.
Snacks.
Something. But it was just, it was all day. And I kept... My reaction kept being, man, I'm just tired of this. You know, so, but it is our city council. it is what they're doing, and you be the judge. 7:53 on. I mean, part of the reason people sometimes ask, why do you cover local politics so much? First, super entertaining. way more entertaining than I ever thought it could possibly be. It is certainly its own thing. Right? That's one, okay? But also because you vote. And you should know who people are. And so part of my job is, you know, teaching you your elected officials. And I want you to know them well enough to know their names and know their positions and know the history and know the issues. And, you know, I want to make government interesting enough to you that you at least know what's going on and you're not surprised by it. And you're not wandering around thinking that the Santa Rosa County is installing speed detection cameras on, Highway 87 and 98 and in every residential neighborhood. They're not. But apparently some people believe that. And I like to think that if you listen to this show, at least you won't be that dumb. That's my goal. And maybe a little smarter even than that. All right, 7:54 on News Radio 92.3. Wrong, John? Did I say it wrong? I don't know. So, still need more coffee, apparently. Hey, if you're looking for a good place to, you know, speaking of city council members who were not at the meeting on Thursday, Casey Jones built this, you know, the old grocery store that's right across from PPD, Kitty Corner to PPD, right by the skate park there, and Hayne and Jackson used to be the old, what is it? I forget how to say the name, Molino Brothers Corner Store. He renovated that, and now it's a Reservoir. And it's fine casual, and it's great. We ate there one time. It was fabulous. Casey Jones and his wife, casual upscale coffee shop kind of vibe, but with good, like, high-end food. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, Saturday brunch, sandwiches, burgers. They got a Ponzu Crunch sandwich. They got a Cuban sandwich, shrimp and grits, like all kinds of things. One of their favorites is, I'm always going to say this wrong, Kaneka Reka. Did I say it right, John? I had to ask you 10 times last week how to say that right. I know. Sausage and biscuits, handcrafted coffees, Big Jerk Soda, local thing, beer on tap, all kinds. Voted best new restaurant in Pensacola by In Weekly last year. So anyway, if you're looking for a different place to try, Reservoir, right there across from the Pensacola Police Station, is a fantastic right downtown. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Cervantes as you approach the I-110 northbound ramp. Traffic is backed up past 9th Avenue, so just be aware of that one. And let's see here, if you roll up, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, seeing just some minor delays due to construction in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach I-10, seeing about a 10-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 15-minute construction delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You don't need another money hack. You need a plan. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Say, mister, I love the way you wear that hat. You don't know nothing.
You can do it. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. U.S. Central Command says it plans to begin enforcing a blockade on Iranian ports here in about 1 hour at 10 a.m. Eastern, following a directive from Donald Trump to clean out the Strait of Hormuz. Of course, that comes after negotiations failed over the weekend in Pakistan. Rory McIlroy has won the Masters for the second straight year, finishing 12-under and holding off Scottie Scheffler. He joins legends like Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods with back-to-back wins. And on TV tonight, Andrew, you can follow Pensacola's Keela Richardson
yes.
as American Idol celebrates Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night. Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo will be mentoring the top 11 contestants. They narrow the field down to 9 today.
Outstanding. I assume they're all going to be singing classic rock songs, which puts her squarely in my recommended category of sing songs people know. Just do them in a way that they don't expect and, you know, make it interesting. But we'll see. You know, I'm certainly rooting for her. The mayor is there. I know took a bunch of signed cards encouraging her on from Pensacolians. And just, damn, it's a fun story. It really is. I hope she does well.